The Data Reaper podcast is a companion which provides extra insight into the weekly report found at viciousyndicate.com. Join us for a deeper dive into the numbers to help you improve your Hearthstone game.
Hello and welcome to episode 120 of the Data Reaper podcast. My co-host used to be Zacho, but he evolved into Thaddeo. How you doing, Thaddeo?
How you doing, Hat?
Doing all right. Miniset came out.
Yep, it sure did. There's a new format that is one of the formats of all time. I will say that. It is one of the formats of all time. And let's discuss it. Let's talk about the early impressions. Once again, I will be a bit more tentative than usual because of the timing. Since these are early impressions, we will highlight that there are always possibilities of things being discovered after this podcast is recorded. And usually things do happen, like things are discovered a week after an initial patch or an expansion comes out or new cards come out. And you can have new discoveries that could change the format. And we've seen that as recently as just a few weeks ago. So we'll always say this is what's happening right now based on the data from Tuesday. Which is about, I don't know, it's like 3.5 days of data. And everything that happens after, we'll see. But for now, we'll talk about the current situation. And we can't start talking about the current situation.
Well, before that, okay. Hold on. Next week's report, currently scheduled for Thursday, the 23rd. However, timeline speculation. This is based on no concrete information, just prior patches. Typically, after the mini set comes out, there is a 9 to 14 day window, which means it's either the Thursday after or the following Tuesday. There is an American holiday on Monday. It's President's Day. So they will have a shortened week. Could mean a Friday patch. Also, there's a lot of talk around Blizzard internal morale and whatever's going on there right now. I don't know if that'll slow things down. So it is possible the patch could be as late as Wednesday, March 1st, which would be the 14-day window plus the 1 day for the holiday. It's possible it could be as fast as Thursday, the 23rd. If it's Thursday, the 23rd, well, the report will be written already, and we won't get advance notice because that'll be same-day patch notes, so we'll just have an outdated report that we'll publish the same time as the patch notes. But that probably means we'll get a report anyways, and then if we get a patch, Zach and I will decide what to do.
I highly doubt that there will be a patch next week. I think the patch will likely happen the week after, and if there's a holiday on Monday, then maybe it will be a Wednesday patch or a Thursday patch, March 2nd, maybe. I don't think that there will be a balance changes by next week. It's possible, but I won't hold my breath for it, you know? But regardless, this is going to be a report.
Yeah. We won't get enough notice to not do a report, so we're going to do a report.
But also, the report is going to be valuable regardless because there are a lot of insights regarding archetypes that are not going to be nerfed necessarily that are worth reading about. And it's also worth reading about the power levels of everything and speculate what could potentially rise following such nerfs. But we can't start talking about nerfs before talking about Shaman.
Yes.
Evolve Shaman has risen in play, and from a deck that, you know, we were like kind of advocating to play because it was so good, but it was underplayed. It's become a deck that everyone is playing.
Well, I would argue it's still underplayed.
Possibly it's still underplayed. Just for perspective and context. Its play rate at upper diamond has already eclipsed 20% at legend, it's around 16 and it's rising. And lower diamond and platinum, it's around the 12%. And as I said, this is rising every day. See where it ends up stabilizing. But Evolve Shaman is the deck to beat in the format because it looks busted as hell. It looks historically broken based on the first few days of the patch. And when I say historically broken, I'm talking about a deck that at top legend, right, where players are best at countering the deck. And I will say there are some developments, important developments, that could temper Evolve Shaman. But as it stands, you're looking at a win rate of upwards of 55% at top legend. At around diamond, it gets to 56, 57%. Platinum, you're nearing 60%. And at gold through bronze, we're talking about a deck that has a win rate above 60%. That's Quest Warrior before all the nerfs. That's the level of broken Evolve Shaman is at the low MMR brackets.
Yeah, it's like Baron's Liberum Paladin or Witchwood Call to Arms Even Paladin. Like, these decks that just, they bottom out at 55% at the highest levels of play, and they just scale upwards.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's very powerful. Blazing Transmutation, the main issue here is Blazing Transmutation increasing the consistency of null blowouts on top of having additional game-breaking 10 drops that you can evolve the null into. Thaddeus is one, but also Neptulon was a bug that was fixed by just yesterday or today.
It was a very funny bug. Also, do you know the specifics of this? Did you see Wire's tweets?
Wire? No, I didn't.
Oh, you don't know. Okay. I'm going to explain this because I think it's very funny. Okay, so so Blazing Transmutation let you pick Neptulon off of Goldshire Null. So I assumed that the script just didn't have the code for turning off Colossals. But Wire posted a list today where he included Snowfall Guardians. Because it turns out that instead of flipping Colossals to off, they flip them all to on. So you would Blazing Transmutation your Snowfall Guardians and get a Z-Lag or a Leviathan. Because every Colossal was in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense. That makes sense to me, actually. But they fixed it, so it's no longer happening. But it's not like the fact that you could get Neptulon off of Null with a Blazing Transmutation is the reason why Evolve Shaman is busted. Like, yes, this could be a slight modifier, and it could hurt the deck very, very slightly, but it's not, like, I don't expect that to be that big of a deal that stops Evolve Shaman from being busted as hell. So the thing is, you no longer, before the miniset came out, you had the null blowout turn. You had Goldshire Null, you had Muck Pools, and you had Schooling. But the thing is, you needed all of these three cards in order to be able to land the null early enough for the blowout turn to occur to the point where the opponent has no response for it. But now you have Blazing Transmutation, which can replace Muck Pools, and is a better card to use with null in the early game because you're pretty much guaranteed to get something insane. Like a Stoneborn General or a Thaddeus. Like, you can get a premium 10 drop that just wins the game on the spot. Which makes it very difficult because it warps the format to a place where if you're playing a deck that cannot answer an early 10 drop, then you kind of... It's going to be tough to win against Evolve Shaman. But the thing is about Evolve Shaman is that it's not just a high roll deck. It's not just about the null. It's not like a deck that just runs, you know, Barnes Yasharaj. And if you answer the Barnes Yasharaj, then the deck loses. No, there's a deck. There's an actual good deck behind this early high roll. It's got the early 10 drop to just cheese the game. But if you answer that 10 drop, there's still a deck behind it with a decent strategy that is very functional and quite powerful. So Evolve Shaman is just a good deck with a win condition that comes on very early that just blows out certain opponents. And again, the increasing consistency of the no blowouts thanks to Blazing Transmutation has put the deck just over the top.
Not to mention the improved target with Thaddeus, which allows you to do things like just throw a Glug down.
Yeah, sometimes you just Blazing Transmutation to null, get like a Thaddeus, and immediately play whatever. like play Glug, like for one mana, immediately. You get instant value. So it's very... And if you don't kill the Thaddeus, then, you know, they just play one mana Brukan the next turn. So it's very difficult to deal with. And Evolve Shaman has a matchup that's like nearly perfect. I will say there are some counters developing, and I will talk about them. There are ways to beat Evolve Shaman. It's not a deck with a tier S matchup spread in the way that, like, there's no counters or nothing beats it, like the Miracle Rogue of the early in the expansion, where there was just nothing that could consistently beat it or anything. There are ways to counter Evolve Shaman, but the matchup spread is so absurd. Like, it just stomps on so many decks that it's just essentially a tier S deck.
Yeah, it's meta warping, right? The counters are all, you have to build to beat Evolve Shaman with every single card you run.
You have to have a very specific kind of strategy in order to be able to beat Evolve Shaman, and that usually involves hard removal in order to be able to answer the 10 drop, right, with an all. And on top of it, a lot of other removal cards to be able to answer their tiny toys, Convincing Disguise and such. And remember, they also have, if they can't get a 10 drop off of Null, then they will cheese out the Neptulon in their deck with Vol'jin. So they often get a turn 5 Neptulon. So turn 3 10 drop into a turn 5 Neptulon into tiny toys, Convincing Disguise. You know, it's pretty stressful when it comes to like a removal deck that wants to beat that needs to have very consistent answers every turn in order to deplete the Evolve Shaman of resources. So there's a very specific strategies that are required to beat this deck. So obviously it would be Murda Warping, and it's also very it also polarizes the format. I'll specify later about how, where the format is headed and how it's likely going to turn into a very polarizing format. So yeah, Evolve Shaman, I fully expect it to be nerfed. The most appropriate nerf is just to nerf Gold Channel even for a couple of months before it rotates into 11 mana. Make it 11 mana so it cannot evolve into a 10 drop. It has, like, if you evolve it, it evolves into itself. Shut down the early blowout, and I think this deck is okay. It's good. It's obviously still going to be good, but it's not going to be as stupid as it is right now. And no early no blowouts is the egregious play pattern that is not just too powerful, but it also leads to poor play experience. So this is the thing that needs to be addressed. I don't really see another way to fix it. This is the way to fix it, and I expect it to be fixed quite quickly as possible.
This is why I think there's a possibility of this week, because I don't think they need to change many cards, and I do think that the play experience actually outside of Diamond to Legend is really heavily impacted here in a really majorly negative way. And that means that maybe some urgency makes sense here. You could do something cheeky, like if you nerf Sea Giant to 11, you actually kind of fix the problem. But I agree that nerfing the Mogu Flesh Shaper is the way to go. Just get rid of this stupid schooling situation where it's a high roll on turn 2 or whatever.
Just nulls. Nulls are a problem. Nulls have run amok this format recently. And
minions with rush that say costs one less. Dangerous territory.
I don't wanna start going into fundamental talk hat, but because these minions are important in the game, but obviously they
toe the line, right?
They are likely, they're more likely to break the game, right? They're more likely to cause issues, which is, you know, it's the challenge in design of making things that are powerful and break curves. It's very important to print things that can be discounted. So you don't, like, if you don't have mana discounts on minions, what happens is that the format turns into a curve format with people play, you know, the most stats per mana cost that they can put out, and the game becomes less interesting as a result. So these cards are important for the game, and I want to say that specifically in a time where it looks like it isn't, like that they aren't, that they just make things worse. No, they can be very important for the game, but understandably, sometimes if you push the consistency too far, such in the case of having Blazing Transmutation and Muck Pools in the same format, then it can cause problems. So Evolve Shaman, super powerful. There are 28 cards that I think are pretty solidified. And then you either run Wildpaw Caverns or Windchill. I think those are the main decisions. I do like Caverns over Windchill, because even though Windchill theoretically is good in the mirror because it helps you stall the 10 drop that they play, oftentimes it's not really impactful enough, because in the mirror it's like blow your opponent out or get blown out very often. Caverns is a card that's right now is very weak. It's not very good. This is why it's a decision. But it's pretty good against the decks that are looking to target Evolve Shaman. Because usually, yeah, you want to target Evolve Shaman with removal. And Wildpaw Caverns is a good value card that stretches removal a bit. So I do like that card in the evolving format. Yeah.
Is that on purpose? You do that on purpose?
I kind of rolled.
Leaned into it. Respect. I get it.
Yeah, so, yeah, Evolve Shaman is super busted. Other Shaman decks, not very good. People are trying all sorts of big Shaman ideas. It's not looking very playable, and I haven't really been impressed. Like, there might be some control Shaman. That's okay. I'm not counting that out, not ruling that out at all, but obviously it will be completely outclassed by how busted Evolve Shaman is. So, Evolve Shaman, public enemy number one. This is the back deck to beat. Everything else, the performance of all other archetypes must be put in the context of how they do against Evolve Shaman, because if a deck hard loses to Evolve Shaman, it's going to struggle, and you're going to hear about this a lot.
Do you have any data on like small Shaman decks that run like Bloodlust or Shadows of Fusion or whatever?
Very little, and nothing and very informative. It's mostly I'm seeing big Shamans that are quite bad. And then there's some control Shamans that I can see being like tier 2-ish. It's like, you know, they're okay, but they're nowhere near like Evolve Shaman or stuff like that. And they don't seem to be gaining much traction either because of it. And there's some people trying like the Bone Lord criminal lineup thing, and it's not very good.
No, it seems kind of bad.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
And something that I think that will come up a lot on this episode, I'm pretty sure it's going to come up a lot. Any deck with a Rivendare in it is probably terrible.
Probably, yeah. We'll see. We'll get through it. We might... Maybe things have changed since yesterday. I'm not sure. But as of yesterday, that would be correct. Yeah. Rivendare looks like a major bait. I will say, I'm pretty confident, Hat, that Rivendare eventually will be meta.
Yes.
Maybe after rotation it becomes a thing, or maybe somebody figures out something right now. It's possible. It's not like far away from it, but obviously it's a win condition that's very complicated to build around, and very different classes are trying different things, and it can be hard to figure out early on. I remember Jailer. You remember Jailer initially at launch was a completely trash card, and I joked about the card being terrible. And then people figure out a way to make Jailer work. It was just one or two decks that ended up playing it successfully. But that might be what happens with Rivendare, that somebody figures out like a deck that can accommodate it and work with it. And it's just we haven't found it yet.
I've been working on a meme build of Demon Hunter. And I know Oh, with the dinner performer. No, with dinner performer.
What dinner? Are you sure it's called dinner performer?
Have you? So no one remembers this card. It's a Nathria card. It's a 3-mana 2/3 that at Battlecry you summon a minion that you have that you can afford to play.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought its name was different.
Yes, 3-mana 2/3. So if you have what, so you play it when you have 6 mana up. You pull one of the horsemen, and then you proving grounds with the remaining 6 mana to kill the other two. And if you pull the rush one, you can just trade it right away. Or if you pull one of the other ones, you just play top of the idol, hit a 6. If you hit the one of the two other horsemen, you just play a dispose, put it back, and then you proving grounds and you kill them.
But how many 6s do you have, Had, that are you likely to hit Relic of Dimensions, to kill it?
To Kurtris Hero, two of the horsemen. You can do the horsemen.
And 2 proving grounds, I guess?
And 2 proving grounds, yeah. So what, 7 6s? Okay.
I guess it can work, yeah.
I don't expect this to be meta, but it's the closest I've found to, like, I get to the point where you're at where you're like, this sounds potentially not horrible.
Yeah, maybe. We'll get to Demon Hunter later.
Much later.
Yeah, much later. Okay, so Evolved Shaman, we know, busted. There's another class that sees a lot of play, and unlike Evolved Shaman, sees a lot of strategic diversity. And that is Death Knight. Death Knight is at the forefront. Death Knight is actually, as of this moment, I believe, is more popular than Shaman as a class. Because Death Knight has multiple popular decks. Not as popular as Evolved Shaman, but put them all together, it eclipses Evolved Shaman.
It's cheating a little bit with the runes, though, like, because it's 3 different runes, so it's like, it feels like 3 different classes, but still, they all have one thing in common, Zach. They have one thing in common. Construct Quarter.
Yeah. Construct Quarter, one of the most impactful additions from the mini set, a runeless location that looks extremely powerful in all Death Knight strategies. And let's start talking about Death Knight strategies. First, you've got Unholy Aggro. In Unholy Aggro, Death Knight looks like, as of this moment, the 3rd best deck in the format. Obviously, it's very powerful. It was powerful before the mini set came out. And Construct Quarter is a huge upgrade. It's a really good card. It's a great pressure card and early board control card to a deck that already excels at early board control. So, and having that, you know, additional value, you get 3, 4, 5s, really helps this deck, because this deck is obviously limited or stressed by removal. So if you have more threats, then it's good. Decks that run removal, that try to deplete it of resources and constantly clear the board in order to deny grave strength, are going to have more trouble against this deck with the Construct Quarter. And obviously, in the fast matchups, Construct Quarter is amazing. And Death Knight, Unholy Death Knight, started playing Foul Egg because Construct Quarter is amazing with Foul Egg in the early game. So you're seeing like builds, I think No Hands Gamer popularized a build that I think is pretty, like, nearly perfect. I'm just one question whether Peasant is still good enough in a deck because you're running the eggs and additional early game. Maybe Peasant is not that good. I'm seeing it kind of drop off in its relative performance in the archetype. Maybe you run Necrolite because there's some cards that you need to cut in order to make way for Construct Quarter and Foul Egg. So you usually cut either Necrolite or Peasant or another card that I forgot what the... Oh, Amalgam is usually a popular cut to make way for these new cards. So, yeah, Unholy is very, very good, obviously. And it's a deck that, even though it loses to Evolved Shaman, it loses very narrowly. It's a narrowly unfavored matchup. So unlike other decks that get completely destroyed by Evolved Shaman, Unholy can kind of survive in that environment. And then it does really well against other decks, so its win rate is quite high. 3rd best deck in the game. You guys are going to be curious what the 2nd best deck is, but we'll get
to
that anyway.
Hey, Zach, what's the 2nd best deck in the game?
No, later. I'm going to Blood now. Blood is another popular archetype. Blood Control. And Blood Control Death Knight looks like the strongest it's ever been. Now, strongest it's ever been doesn't say much because it's always been kind of garbagey. But Blood Death Knight is like nearing a tier 2 performance. It's nearing a positive win rate, which is something it's never achieved. And it's looking quite good now. And the reason is it actually counters Evolve Shaman. Because it has insane removal. It's got 4 massive board clears. You can run both Corpse Explosion and Soul Stealer. So it's got 4 big board clears on top of being able to run Obliterate or Asphyxiate, which answers the early 10 drop from the null. So Blood Death Knight's removal package is ideally suited to combat Evolve Shaman. This is a deck that I've been playing at, and I made a build, which I shared on the Discord, that I basically, at high MMR, 100% win rate against Evolve Shaman. I think I went 7-0 against Evolve Shaman. Now, statistically, that matchup looks like 55-45, but I believe that with some card choices, like adding Construct, which not all Blood Death Knights are doing, on top of running both Corpse Explosion and Soul Stealer, as well as making sure to run Asphyxiate or Obliterate, maybe even you fit both in. I'm not sure about that, but I think an optimal a Blood Death Knight has potential to be a very reliable counter to Evolve Shaman. In terms of win condition, people are going to be upset at me saying that because I was running Rivendare, but Rivendare looks pretty bad. Looks not pretty bad. It looks terrible. Mograine is better. Mograine is a better win condition for this deck than Rivendare. On top of running Astralor, you have some damage-based win condition that can wear opponents down. So I would go with that. And obviously you run the location, which is nutty, even in this deck, despite the fact you don't have much early game and you're not likely to have a on-curve construct that immediately generates a 4-5. It's just such good removal. Like, you set it up on 3 and you can turn 4, you can even hero power and transform into a 4-5, rush into something, and defend yourself. Like, it's a really good defensive card. It's both a defensive and offensive card. So you just run it. No questions asked. So Blood Death Knight, I see it being a pretty good deck. I think this is tier 2 when refined. I think once it gets a bigger edge on Evolve Shaman, I think it's possible. Then, and I'm seeing it in the data. Like, the deck improves in this matchup on a daily basis. I think that statistically it's possible that I can get into a 60-40 advantage. And if Evolve Shaman takes over the format and you have a 60-40 counter, that's significant. Now, obviously, Blood Death Knight is a polarizing deck. Even if it manages to beat Evolve Shaman consistently, it's going to lose to decks with great inevitability. You're looking mostly at Phylactery Warlock at higher levels of play. It's going to be a problem matchup for it. Ramp Druid also rolls over it. So decks with high late game inevitability are going to be a problem for Blood Death Knight. But if you're only seeing Evolve Shamans on top of Unholy Death Knight, which, by the way, Blood Death Knight stomps. Like, this is not close. This is close to being a 70-30 matchup. Blood Death Knight is very dominant against Unholy. And its edge against Unholy ranges from like 60-40 to 70-30, depending on build. We'll see where that lands, but it's very significantly favored. Then Blood Death Knight beats the top 2 of the top decks in the format. And that's a big deal.
So wait, hold on. We've heard this story before, and we're going to hear it again later in this podcast. Warped format makes shitty control deck contextually relevant.
Yeah.
We're going to hear this again this show.
Yeah, so control decks are quite good in this format. I'm spoiling it a bit, but because of their ability to answer the early 10 drops from the Evolve Shaman, they're kind of the only decks that can do that because they run dedicated removal, and they're able to kind of deplete Evolve Shaman's ability to reload the board, like deplete its resources. They're actually kind of good right now. So Blood Death Knight is one of those. And it's a deck that, you know, the ability to beat both Evolve Shaman and Unholy Death Knight is a very big deal. Like being 60-40 favored against both is huge. Like these are the decks to beat, and Blood beats that. It has counters. There are definitely ways to punish it with other strategies, but those strategies lose to Evolve Shaman and they lose to Unholy Death Knight. So, or they definitely don't beat them. So that's kind of an issue. So Blood Death Knight is quite good.
Hey, Zach, what's the second best deck in the format?
I'm still not there.
Come on.
Frost Death Knight. Okay. Frostburn Death Knight. Frostburn Death Knight is in the format. It sees far less play. Its play rate, I think, is around 3-4%. It's pretty good. It no longer beats a Evolve Shaman. It used to beat it before the main set, but now it looks like this matchup turns sour. It's like 50-50, maybe even slightly worse than 50-50. I'm seeing 50-50. So, you go 50-50, you're kind of slightly favored against Unholy. So, Frost can kind of survive against the best decks. So, its position is pretty good, but it kind of loses to Blood. You know, obviously, it loses to Ram Druid, things with armor, a lot of life gain. Those are obvious issues, but it's pretty good against the rest of the field. And again, it doesn't lose to Evolve Shaman and Holy Death Knight duo. So its position in the format is pretty reasonable. It's a pretty good deck. It's not a tier one deck, but it's definitely a tier two deck at all rank brackets. Maybe tier one at lower levels of play, possible. It's a reasonable deck. But Frostburn Death Knight is not the best Death Knight, and Blood isn't the best Death Knight, and Unholy Aggro is not the best Death Knight, and Frostburn Death Knight is not even the best Frost Death Knight. Because the second best deck in the game, better than Unholy, is another Death Knight deck, and that is the Frost Aggro Death Knight. There is a new build coming from, I think, Fino and Hunter Ace.
Correct.
That runs an aggressive minion package very similar to the one that is ran by Unholy Death Knight. But instead of running the Unholy payoffs, you run the Frost payoff of Frostworm's Fury on top of Marrow Manipulator, the payoff that has been completely ignored up until now, but is perfect for a minion-dense Frost deck. And this deck looks nutty. This deck looks really, really powerful. This deck, unlike Unholy, it doesn't lose to Evolve Shaman. Goes around 50-50 with it. And the burst and reach, like you basically have an aggressive deck with an early minion curve. You run Foul Eggs. You run Construct Quarter. You've got the Skeleton Sidekicks, the Arms Dealer. You've got an early game. You've got Acolyte of Death for reload. You've got the early game. But the late game, instead of running Grave Strength, you've got the Marrow Manipulator. You stack up corpses. And eventually, that turns into face damage against a passive opponent that doesn't have board. Marrow Manipulator is a Pyroblast to the face on top of a 5/5. That's very powerful. And also, you have Frostworm's Fury. So if you're playing against another board deck, you can lock them out. You can push face damage while freezing the entire board and targeting their face and winning the race. So, and you get that very consistently. Since you're running far less frost spells, Harbinger of Winter essentially is a tutor. I think you run just Frost Strike and Frostworm's Fury.
And Horn of Winter,
yeah. So you run six Frost spells, which get tutored by your Harbinger of Winter and Overseer Frigidaire.
I've seen people talk about swapping out the Frost Strikes for Howling Blast too, but Frost Strikes are in the popular list right now.
Yeah. I can see that. But basically what happens is you always have Frostworm's Fury on turn 7. It's impossible not to draw it by turn 7 when you're running both Harbinger of Winter and Frigidaire and you're just running 6 Frost spells. And obviously Horn of Winter is pretty good for a deck that is aggressive, wants to get under opponents, and flood the board as early as possible, having a kind of innervate, kind of, is pretty good. It's a good card in aggressive lists as well. So this deck looks really, really good. And this is the second best deck in the format. Its play rate right now is pretty low since patch. However, based on like the last 12 hours, it's spiking. This deck is going to be very prevalent. It's going to be more prevalent than Frostburn, for sure. And it's more powerful than Unholy, because the thing is, because it has an off-board win condition, it does much better into removal decks that try to deplete it of resources. Like, if you push an Unholy aggro Death Knight off the board, they cannot win because their win condition is based on the board. They need Grave Strength. They need minions to buff with Grave Strength in order to kill you. So if you keep clearing the board, they can't do anything against you. They've got the Marrowgar win condition. If you can't deal with that, you lose. If you deal with that, you win. However, this deck can just launch damage to face. You clear the board, they accumulate corpses, they power blast you in the face with Marrow Manipulator. If you're too passive and you don't win board against them, that damage goes to your face. And on top of that, Frostburn Fury is obviously a card that goes face and hits very hard and hurts a lot. So this deck much is better in the slow matchups while also having very dominant board-centric matchup, because it's kind of an Unholy Death Knight. It's very sticky. You've got Construct Quarter. I think Construct Quarter is the great enabler that allowed this deck to exist. When you look at Construct Quarter's performance, it's very good in all Death Knight decks, but in this deck, this is Relic Vault. Like, this in this deck, Construct Quarter is absolutely insane. Like, absolutely, the location made this work. It made it possible for you to run a minions dense deck and not rely on the Unholy Rune. So that's what's happening. This deck is super good. If you want to net deck it, Fino's Twitter, I believe he posted the list. This is the Giga Nets, in his words. And he's correct.
So, okay. If they nerf Evolve Shaman and don't touch Construct Quarter, do we just end up with a different problem?
Yeah, Death Knight is definitely very powerful at this point, and if they nerf Evolve and ignore this, then it's just gonna... Yeah, I mean, Death Knight is, based on its performance, like, it's nearly as good as Evolve Shaman. Like, I'm talking about, like, Frost Aggro is nearly as good as Evolve Shaman. Like, its matchup spread is not as scary, but it is very, very powerful. It looks very, very difficult to beat. And as I said, defensive decks that try to remove and clear, while they can work very well against Unholy, Marrow Manipulator and Frostman's Fury put a different twist on it that makes it more difficult to deal with because of the off-board win condition that they have. They don't need to always have board in order to win. They can finish off opponents without the board. And this deck is also favored against Unholy, if you're wondering. So I think this thing is going to take over. And yeah, Construct Quarter is absolutely insane, especially in this deck. As I said, it looks like an insane outlier in terms of performance.
That card could have 2 durability and be fine.
Absolutely. I expect to see Construct Quarter go to 2 durability. I think we have a very similar case as Nightcloak Sanctum, where the card at 3 charges was just way too good. And at 2 charges, you see it's still being played. It's still good enough to be played in multiple mage decks. Construct Quarter is the same thing. This card is a bit overtuned, for sure. Okay, not a bit, but quite a bit. it's going to get nerfed. Yeah, so that's the situation. Obviously, this deck is meta-breaking, and you're going to hear a lot about it over the next week, and it's probably going to be featured prominently in the report.
I would expect so.
Yeah, so that's it for Death Knight. Lots of different strategies. They're all good. Like, they're all very competitive. Frost Aggro seems to be the best one, but Blood has an important role in the format for the first time, maybe. And Unholy is obviously going to be there. So, yeah. Rainbow, sucky, sucky. We forgot all about Syndragosa. This card is not a good enough enabler for Rainbow Death Knight. Rainbow Death Knight looks vastly inferior to other Death Knight strategies. And any kind of mix of Frost and Blood in order to take advantage of Syndragosa doesn't seem to be competitive.
Yeah, there's just no reason to do it.
Yep, I mean, Syndragosa is just not a major payoff. It's a Krabatoa. Like, why would I?
It's a myself? Crushing walls. Like it's fine. It's yeah.
It's just not it. Okay.
What is it? Why don't we talk about Rogue a little bit? And boy, there is a lot going on in Rogue, and a good chunk of it seems like it's not the thing to do, but people are doing it anyways. I'm really curious to see what developments you see in the data here.
Yeah, so Thief Rogue got better because okay. of this mini set. Yeah, let me explain why it got better. There's an Evolve Shaman. The way to beat Evolve Shaman is with removal decks. You're looking at things like Blood Death Knight. We'll mention others in the near future. But obviously, the way to counter Evolve Shaman is removal. And guess which deck really wrecks decks that rely on removal? And that is the endless value of Thief Rogue. Because Thief Rogue is very good at slowly accumulating resources and slowly pressuring and stressing out and depleting removal decks from their removal. Because it's got tons and tons of piles of value.
It's an endless pile of bullshit, and so, like, you can't clear that out. I get it.
Yeah, so Thief Rogue is obviously very good against Blood Death Knight and other decks that try to do the same thing. And on top of that, Thief Rogue is not even that bad against Evolve Shaman because it's got its own scam. You have a scam matchup. You're trying to null me on turn 3-4 and get a 10 drop. I can also jackpot you out of the game with a Trickster on turn 4. So I've got my own scam.
And don't forget, like, replaying objections and counterspells.
Yeah, you can replay a bunch of stuff in order to deny their turns. You can find some bullshit removal in order to be able to answer their big boards. You can get a Gigafin or other such stuff. And Tifro can pull out of its ass all sorts of answers in order to be able to answer the Evolve Shaman. Again, as I said, like, Tifro does not beat Evolve Shaman, but it's if you don't beat Evolve Shaman, at least don't hard lose to it. Make it close to 50-50, and you can kind of survive in this format, and this is what Tifro is doing. So Tifro goes close to 50-50 against Evolve Shaman, and kind of counters all the things that try to counter Evolve Shaman, which is why the deck is nearing a 50% win rate throughout multiple ladder brackets compared to before the patch where it was kind of teetering on the brink of tier 4. Kind of teetering between tier 3 and tier 4, and now it's like 50%, close to 50%, so between the tier 2 and tier 3 range, which is quite an improvement. So Thief Rogue is looking better. Ironically, it sees less play because now people are playing Evolve Shaman because Evolve Shaman is so super busted that even players at Top Legend are running Evolve Shaman over Thief Rogue. And Thief Rogue's play rate, I believe at Top Legend, is not even 10%. Hallelujah, hat. This deck's play rate has finally gone down.
But at what cost? What did it cost? Everything.
Everything, literally Gul'dan's everything, and I would expect that if ever putting out a report next week that tells people that Thief Rogue is tier 2, then people are probably going to flock back to it. But obviously Thief Rogue is not the only rogue deck, and Miracle Rogue is around, not in as big numbers, but its performance at Top Legend is very, very good. It is a borderline tier 1 deck at Top Legend right now, because despite the fact that it loses to Evolve Shaman, yes, it cannot, like, unlike Thief Rogue, it doesn't have the early scam. It can get, like, concoctions in order to be able to answer the early 10 drop and deadly shot the null transformation, but generally, it takes more time for the Miracle Rogue to pull something out of its ass, which means that Evolve Shaman's matchup is difficult. However, Miracle Rogue is very good against things like Blood Death Knight because it's got tons of value and it's powerful against a multitude of strategies that can't answer a Sinstone Graveyard, or a big Draka weapon. And it's also a very good, it's the best counter to Phylactery Warlock, which is a relevant deck at top legend. And I suspect that Phylactery Warlock is going to be quite popular. So the way to counter it, to beat it, is Miracle Rogue. It's a 70-30 matchup. And that matchup is largely going to prop Miracle Rogue standing in that field. Again, at low ranks of ladder, don't expect Miracle Rogue to be better than a tier 3 deck, maybe even worse. But at top legend is going to be very relevant because it beats some things that are specifically relevant at higher levels of play. So Miracle Rogue is a very good deck, but loses to Evolve Shaman. Like, the matchup against Evolve Shaman is tough right now. There's too much consistency in the early. No blowout that Miracle Rogue cannot consistently answer. And sometimes it gets awkward with the Deadly Shot. You can get a concoction with Deadly Shot, but maybe they play around it. They can play like a few Piranhas, and you're not guaranteed to remove that 10 drop. It can be kind of tough. Okay, and there are also other stuff with people trying out, like Chad Rogue. I'm gonna notify everyone that if there's a deck that runs some OTK with Thaddeus, I'm calling it Chad. So we got Chad Rogue, that is basically a deck that runs a spell package with Shroud of Concealment in order to consistently tutor out the neutral OTK package of Thaddeus, Alexstrasza, Bran, and Zola.
And Bone Lord Frost Whisper. Bone Lord Frost Whisper 2. And you play one more minion, you play one Shatter Shambler.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need Zola in this deck because you have Shadow Step for the Alexstrasza, so there's no need for the Zola. But the point is, you run Shambler, which means that Bone Lord dies when you play it. So you play around the Silence and Transform. And once the Bone Lord dies, you can go Thaddeus, Bran, Alex. The Thaddeus needs to be on odd cost cards. So you go Bran, Alexstrasza, Shadow Step the Alexstrasza, Alexstrasza again. You know the drill. It's like a burst OTK. This deck is complete garbage, though. Like, it's unplayable. Its win rate is in the 30s.
Listen, that is twice as high as March of the Lich King Garrote Rogue. It is double the win rate in the mid-30s.
Yeah, it's respectably terrible. Other stuff I don't see much of. I will notify that Jombre has a Death Rattle spin, like a Death Rattle deck with like the Neptulon thing that he popularized a few weeks ago, and he's trying to bring it back. I'm seeing very little data for it. However, the early data is kind of promising. So we might have another rogue deck that is competitive. But again, I'll wait. I'll collect more data and I'll talk about it in the report. But it's worth mentioning. If you want to try something a bit hipster, try out Jambre's Death Rattle Rogue.
Hey, I played this today. Am I a hipster? Is that what I am?
Yes, Hat. Right now, you are a hipster. As of right now. But next week, maybe if this becomes the meta breaker, then it's no longer going to be a hipster.
Well, let me tell you. You know how good the matchup is against Blood DK? Oh, man. They Soul Stealered and gave me more damage on board. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that deck is pretty good in the late game.
I mean, it was turn 7, but like, if you were facing down a Burning Blade Acolyte, 2 5/8s, and a Mast Reveler, and it's lethal damage, do you let them live or do you pop them in hope? And they pop them in hope, and I got the Neptulon, and they died.
Yeah, obviously, the deck has the ability to generate absurd boards. And it has a scam turn, so it's kind of tries to out-scam the Evolve Shaman. And again, I don't know much about its matchup spread, but it seems to produce, based on a low sample, good results. I want to wait and see whether those results are a result of source bias, of people, you know, specifically nep decking, the people who closely follow Jombre are better than the average Hearthstone player, which can cause issues with low samples and is why I am so careful.
Yep. I'm trying to balance that out, man. I'm trying to pull that back and make sure that you get an accurate sample.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that is it for Rogue. Other rogue archetypes, not seeing much of it. Pirate is terrible. People Prize. Are trying like Jolly Roger, and it's not good. So that is that. Next class
Warlock.
Is a Warlock. Yes. So Warlock, obviously at the forefront are attempts to make Chad Warlock work, obviously with Thaddeus and the Undead package, as well as Rivendare. You've got some enticing Undeads to cheat out with Amorphous Slime and Flesh Behemoth. So there's some stew brewing there. However, that stew tastes horrible because Chad Warlock looks absolutely terrible. It's possible that there is some refinement that needs to be done. I will work on it. I'm pretty sure I'm going to feature a Chad Warlock. And there's some card choices that significantly improve its performance. But even at peak performance, I don't expect Chad Warlocks to be better than Tier 3. If it manages to get to Tier 3 post-refinement, that's already an achievement by itself. But just to set expectations, this deck is not good. It's not good. And on top of it, it hard loses to Evolve Shaman. I think that 30-70 matchup, that's a death sentence to every deck that tries to be competitive. You cannot be competitive while losing to Evolve Shaman that hard. So Chad Warlock, not good. What is good? Phylactery. Phylactery is the ultimate inevitability OTK deck in the format right now. And while it loses to Evolve Shaman, that matchup is maybe 40-60. And then Phylactery hard counters the Evolve Shaman counter. So if Evolve Shaman counters start popping up, playing a slow attrition game like Blood Death Knight, then Phylactery will be there to counter them. And that matchup, I think, against Blood Death Knight is something like 70-30, even more, 75-25. Blood Death Knight cannot, there's very little that the Blood Death Knight can do. And it similarly dominates other attrition decks that may rise to counter Evolve. So Phylactery is kind of a scissors in a rock, paper, scissor game where Evolve Shaman is one of the focal points. And then removal decks that try to deplete Evolve Shaman are the other end. And then you've got the Phylactery Warlocks that can counter that. This is a deck that's going to be quite good at top legend, however, very polarizing. Another big counter to Phylactery I just mentioned, Miracle Rogue. Miracle Rogue is a deck that's going to be popular at top legend and successful because of the Phylactery Warlock matchup. So Phylactery, very polarizing, kind of a counter cue deck meant to target the brave people who are willing and desperate to counter Evolve Shaman. So Phylactery punishes that. So it's an evil deck in a way. It's an dishonorable. Guys, we're trying to counter Evolve Shaman and you're punishing that? Come on. But yeah, I'm just kidding. We're not shaming deck choices. Phylactery is good.
So listen, this would not be the first time that we encourage listeners of our show to not play a deck that starts with the words Bomb War. We have historically discouraged people from playing decks that start with the syllables Bomb War.
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference between Phylactery and Bomb Warrior is that we didn't need to, there wasn't an effort to tell people not to play Bomb Warrior. People didn't want to play Bomb Warrior because it was kind of a boring deck. Phylactery is a combo deck and people really dig that, especially at high levels of play. It's an OTK deck, so it's naturally going to, people are going to gravitate, and there are a subset of the population that really loves these decks, you know, the Lifesteal Demon Hunter players, and Phylactery kind of ticks that box. Yeah, and it's good because it beats the Blood Death Knight, so if you really hate Blood Death Knight, this deck just rolls them. Like, they basically need to Theotar your Phylactery in order to reliably beat you, and Theotar is not even a card that you run around in blood. Very often. Okay, Imp Warlocks are fine. They don't see much play because playing Imps into Evolve Shaman feels bad because the moment they play the 10 drop, you kind of lose the game. But Imp Warlock is fine against other things in the field, so it's an okay deck choice, but Evolve Shaman is a bad matchup. Like, it's just bad. And considering that Imp Warlock loses to both Unholy Death Knight and the Frost Aggro and Evolve Shaman, I think as the meta settles down and the best decks get played more, Imperlock is going to crash and burn. And people are already anticipating it, and its play rate is quite low right now. Imperlock is both imp variants are not that popular. Yeah, and that is it for Warlock. Phylactery, good at top legend. Chad, no Chad. Chad is not good.
Shame.
Okay. Mage. Mage is a class that barely changed. Its outlook is not too different from what it was before. Big Spell, Frost, and Wildfire are all competitive decks. I think something changed, though, in the internal power between those decks. Evolve Shaman beats both Frost and Big Spell Mage, but it doesn't completely destroy them, which means that they're able to survive in the environment that, you know, plays a lot of Evolve Shaman. Also, Death Aggressive Dex Knights are also not ideal matchups, but it's not completely terrible. So Frost and Big Spell, I anticipate, will get worse and worse. Like, if Evolve Shaman starts choking out the format, I suspect that Frost and Big Spell will be victims of that. As of right now, they look like tier 2-ish decks, but again, it might get worse. The outlook is not great. However, Wildfire Mage actually beats Evolve Shaman, which is a big deal. Despite the fact that Wildfire Mage is not a removal-focused deck, its ability to stall through multiple freezes means it can basically indirectly answer the early null, the early 10-drop. You basically have Sanctum, you have Flurry, you have Amplified Snow Flurry. You have multiple ways to freeze a big, single big threat and stall the game. And by stalling the game, and if you don't freeze, then you have Solid Alibi. So it's quite difficult for the Evolve Shaman to actually connect damage to the mage with the cheesy 10-drop. And then what the Wildfire Mage does is just stacks up its Mordresh, and eventually it Mordreshes the Evolve Shaman board and just wins the game that way. Because once you Mordresh, the Evolve Shaman kind of dies. Like, it doesn't have an answer to the Mordresh body itself, and its board is cleared, so even if it plays, like, Convincing Disguise with Tiny Toys, unless you got some really nutty death rattles, like, the Mordresh is going to clear everything. And if it's not the Mordresh, then it's the Reckless Apprentice. It's got good over-the-top damage and the ability to freeze and answer the Shaman board.
I hate this so much. I hate it.
Why? You hate Evolve Shaman? You hate the fact that Wildfire Mage counters Evolve Shaman?
No, I hate Freeze Mage nonsense. Like, it's just...
Oh, okay.
It's the chain freezes and multiple ice blocks. Solid Alibi's ice block. Don't be fooled. That's what that card is.
Yeah, I know. But it's a proactive ice block. But the thing is, on top of the fact that it kind of beats Evolve Shaman, I think that matchup is like 55-45. And there's some optimization with Wildfire. I recommend running the Worms, the Arcane Worms. They're really good in the Death Knight matchups, the aggressive Death Knights. The early game removal is very valuable. Wildfire Mage also beats the slow decks that try to counter Evolve Shaman. Because you've got a really good scaling win condition, we all know Wildfire Mage scales very well in the late game. The Varden Hero Power is a source of basically infinite damage and damage that keeps scaling. So your matchup against Blood Death Knight, for example, is good. So you beat Evolve Shaman and you beat the things that counter Evolve Shaman. Wildfire could develop into kind of a meta breaker deck. And I think that in a future format, in a near future format where people play more of the Evolve and more of the Unholy Death Knights and the Frost Aggro Death Knights, I think Wildfire Mage is a big deal. It's going to become a big deal. You lose to Phylactery because you have no minion pressure. Your minion pressure is almost non-existent. And even Frost Mage, which is a more aggressive deck, does not do well against Phylactery. But other than that, your matchups are looking quite good. So I think Wildfire Mage is kind of a mini meta breaker at this point. If you want to beat the Evolve Shamans and also beat the things that try to counter it, run Wildfire Mage. It's very good. I think it's the best Magic deck, and it might shape up to be one of the better decks in the format. It's got its flaws, for sure. I think that if people transition from Unholy aggro into Frost aggro, it's not a good thing for Wildfire Mage, because your ability, you can freeze boards, which is very good against Unholy aggro. But if your board is clear, then Manipulator kind of farms you, and you can't really deal with Frostfume's Fury. You need to scale up really quickly in order to be able to kill or be killed. And usually the Frost aggro definitely outraces you. So that's kind of an issue. But other than that, I think Wildfire is quite good. Underrated deck. It's rising. It starts to rise in play. But I suspect that it could only blow up if we like report showing the report that it's really good. I think its play rate is like under 2% as of right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an older deck too. It doesn't run any new cards, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not particularly exciting. It's like the same list as in the last report before the mini set. No new cards. Casino Mage is terrible. Tear Reality is not
it. It's really, really, really bad. Like, people had this idea that they were going to get Icebox, but just, who has time for 4 mana to play that card? And you end up with just absolute trash 90% of the time or more.
There's like 150 spells in Wild or something like that. Somebody did the math. There's like so many spells. There's no way you can assume that you can get anything with any consistency. It's just, and there's so many terrible mage spells too. So yeah, it's giga garbage, and Casino Mage is not a thing. Yeah. So my recommendation, if you want to play Mage, Wildfire Mage looks like the real deal. And it actually has a very, very strong meta role in the format right now. So yeah. Okay. Next class. What is the next class on? Priest? Oh, Priest. Oh, baby. Okay. Priest. We'll start with Undead Priest. You know, there's been some
Shadow
support
Priest.
For like a shadowy. Yeah. Shadow and Undead Priest. And honestly, it's looking, I think this deck is going to be quite good after nerfs. I think like Undead Priest, like Shadow Priest, like Rotting Necromancer, people are running like Rotting Necromancer and you know, Mindseer and stuff like that. And I see a lot of promise in that kind of strategy.
I mean, there are two problems the deck has to deal with. Goldshire Null Evolve scams and Construct Quarter. So once those get worse, then maybe it's okay. Because though, like, I've obviously been playing a bunch of this, and you do a lot of damage here, and I play it against like Thief Rogues and Ramp Druids, and you smash them, but you don't beat a turn 2 Thaddeus, and you don't beat Construct Quarter.
I mean, go to the live app, Hat. Go to the live app. Sword by Legend, the matchup spread. Look at Undead Priest. Look at what the red matchups are, and look at what the rest of the matchup spread is. It's looking like a very good deck, but it loses to Evolve Shaman, loses to Unholy aggro, loses to Frost aggro, but the rest of the matchup spread is very good. So in the event of nerfing Evolve and Construct Quarter, this deck is going to be meta, absolutely. After the patch, you can expect Undead Priest to be a real deck, a real threat, to be one of the better decks in the format, possibly.
I can see from the Gold app that it has a positive matchup against multiple Chad decks.
It beats the Chad decks, sure, but it also does well. Like its matchup against like Thief Rogue, Pure Paladin, Ram Druid,
even Blood Decay. Like, you would think that Blood Decay would have too much healing, but they cannot keep up with your damage, and they can't deal with your reborns, and you have a lot of refill, like a surprising amount.
You have a lot of card draw. And you have a lot of stickiness, and obviously you have a lot of offboard damage, and Rotting Necromancer is a hell of a card in slow matchup. So yeah, you definitely have a good matchup spread that's very promising post-patch. But you get rolled over by Evolve Shaman, and you get rolled over by aggressive Death Knights running Construct Quarter. That's the problem of this deck right now. However, let's talk about Priest decks that are actually very suitable for the current format.
I foreshadowed this. This was foreshadowed when we talked about Blood Decay.
Blood Decay, obviously very good because it's removal. Guess which Class also has great removal tools for an early 10 drop, like Delighted Burns, and also Cannibalize. Cannibalize and Shadow Ward Ruin. We're back into Control Priest being good because the meta is so warped into answering some sort of threat in meta Tyrant that this deck actually works. And not necessarily Control Priest. Control Priest is, I think, reasonably competitive, potentially, if you build it well. I think Tic Tac posted a Twitter list that I would recommend to try out. It's definitely looking like a tier 3 deck, potentially post-refinement, if not tier 2. However, there's another Control Priest deck that happens to run a quest, and that is commonly called as Quest Priest, that post-refinement hat looks like tier 1 potential. And when I say post-refinement, I'm basically telling you just run Cannibalize. Just run Cannibalize. Not because it's an amazing removal card, it's just in the current environment, having multiple answers to an early no blowout is a big deal, which is why we run Cannibalize. So against Shaman, you have Delighted Burns, you have Cannibalize, and later in the game, you know, they play the Convincing Disguise on the Tiny Toys, you've got Shadow Ward Ruin, you've got Light Bomb, you've got Clean the Scene, you've got Whirlpool, you've got removal for days. So you can definitely counter the Evolve Shaman. And in fact, Quest Priest and Control Priest are the best counters to Evolve Shaman. Blood Deathlight, I think, is going to be a matchup that's going to turn into like 40-30 and 40-60. However, Quest Control Priests, I think, is 35-65, maybe even worse than that for the Evolve Shaman. Control Priest is definitely the deck to play if you just want to win this one matchup. Now, on top of that, Control Priest and Quest Priest decks are pretty good against the aggressive Death Knights because you got a ton of healing and you've got a ton of removal. So it also works there.
And like, Mirror Manipulator is not going to keep up with like Light Shower Elemental, right? Like, this isn't something where you play off board. You play stuff.
Yeah, and on top of that, you're also pretty well positioned against Blood Death Knight too. Because if you're playing a quest, Purified Shard is something that's kind of hard to deal with for Blood Death Knight. They basically, like, you complete the quest and you play Finley, and they can't... I guess Patchwork is the one card that can answer it. Like, there is counterplay for the Death Knight, but it's kind of hard counterplay. So Quest and Control Priest are kind of narrowly favored against Blood Death Knight while beating Evolve Shaman pretty hard and doing well against the aggressive Death Knight decks. So that's indicative of... And Quest Priest is better than Control Priest because it has a more proactive win condition. It's looking tier 1 potential. Maybe not at lower ranks of that, but at top legend, I would give it a chance to be even tier 1. Now, obviously, Quest Priest is Quest Priest. And the moment it's actually good and people start playing it, you can counter it super hard. Phylactery Warlock is a deck that definitely counters Quest Priest. So it's kind of a deck that's kind of... Because it's so polarizing, then it never stays at the top for long. I wouldn't be surprised if its win rate tanks by the time we actually do the report. But when Quest Priest is tier 1 or shows tier 1 potential, you know the format's broken. This keeps happening. Like, a format's broken to the point where Quest Priest is kind of this niche meta counter that balances the format or tries to balance the format. You know we're in trouble. Like, it's over. When Quest Priest is tier 1, it's over. So that's the situation. And, you know, hilariously had, it is kind of funny to think about the fact that out of every quest line printed in Stormwind, the one that outlasted everything else, is the Priest quest. Ask that at the beginning of the launch of Stormwind, and people would probably laugh at you if you said that.
Well, it's also the only one that's seen play that has not been nerfed.
True, but and it's also the only, it kind of makes sense when you think about it. It hasn't been nerfed. And on top of it, it doesn't require a support package. Like, you don't need overload cards to support the quest shaman. You don't need self-damage to support the warlocks. Basically, quest priest doesn't need support other than just cards that cost the right amount of mana. And there's always going to be cards that cost, you know, the right amount of mana.
Well, I mean, the buff to Blackwater Behemoth does help that a lot. But yes, Behemoth and Whirlpool. But also, thinking back at it, also, Quest Priest, this has been like the third time I can think of where Quest Priest becomes good because of some issue in the format, and it ends up being the counterplay, and it's also been popular. Is this the best designed quest? It's popular, it hasn't been nerfed, and it has a role to play like a superhero. This is the Batman of quests.
I mean, well-designed is kind of... I think most of the Stormwind quests were well-designed in terms of finding fun and flavor. I don't know. Like, it's kind of a tricky question to ask if this is the best design. But yeah, I think Quest Priest works pretty well, but... As I said before, whenever Quest Priest is good, it kind of tells you that the format is screwed. So I don't know if that's a good thing, if that's a good sign.
It's better to have a safety valve than to not, though. It's better to have something than nothing.
Yeah, but the thing is, Hat, the fact that Quest Priest counters these meta tyrants has nothing to do with the quest itself. It's about the priest. If there was no quest, then people would just play Control Priest. Control Priest is pretty competitive right now for the same reason. It's just its win condition is not as obvious, right? Its win condition is a bit more difficult to execute. And that's why Quest Priest is better. But it's not about the quest that makes this deck a counter or an answer to the format. But yeah, Quest Priest is good. You can play Quest Priest. It works pretty well. If you're running into Evolve, Unholy, and things that counter those decks, Quest Priest is a good deck. If you're running into a lot of Phylactery, then good luck. It's gonna be rough. Yeah, other priest strategies, I think, not really relevant.
Svalna Priest?
No, Svalna is not good. Yeah, there's nothing. Okay. So, yeah, Blood Death Knight and Quest Priest are good decks, Hat. Blood Death Knight and Quest Priest are good.
It's what we've seen all year. All right. Talk to me about Paladin. Does a quality make it there, or is it just too slow?
I am seeing a rise in the popularity of a quality in general in this archetype, but it seems to be out of like desperation.
Yeah.
Pure Paladin is one of those good decks that are good against most things, but just lose to the pair of Evolve Shaman and aggressive Death Knights, the Unholy and Frost aggro variants. So yeah, it's rough. I would expect that in a settled format where people play more of the best decks, Pure Paladin is going to come crashing down. Its play rate is already lower than it was before, and I would expect it to keep falling. Pure Paladin's outlook in this format is not looking too good. So that's a problem. And Control Paladin's kind of disappeared. I'm not sure why, but maybe it just didn't work. There's some Dragon Paladin. It's okay, but it's not great. It's like a tier 3, just as usual. Like, nothing changed there. And then there's Chad Paladin. There's the Chad Paladins with the Bone Lord and the Thaddeus, and you know the reason why people do it in Paladins because of Order in the Court. You can draw the Thaddeus and the Alexstrasza and the Bone Lord immediately, and you just run like a Prester Druid kind of early game package with like Peasant and Pelican Diver and Mailbox Dancer in order to be able to play the Bone Lord earlier.
Oh my god, this deck looks so bad. Oh my god, this looks
terrible. It's terrible. It's like win rate is like almost in the 20s.
Somehow the worst Chad deck that we've talked about so far, and that is saying something.
Yeah, it's rough, but yeah, that's it. I can't recommend a paladin deck. Like, pure paladin right now is basically living off fumes. Like, it's right now it's winning quite a bit and looks like tier 2-ish because it beats a lot of bad decks, but it just hard loses to the best decks. I will say it's good against Phylactery, but if you want to counter Phylactery top legend, you might as well run Miracle Rogue. So it doesn't do much. It just beats Chad decks, honestly. Look at its matchup spread hand. It just beats Chad deck.
What high legend player out there is like, oh, I need the advice to play Miracle Rogue because I'm too busy playing pure paladin. Is there a person? Is there a person that's in high legend
Hunter
playing pure paladin
Hunter
over?
Is.
He doesn't count.
Hunter Ace would willingly play pure paladin over Miracle Rogue because he is a Chad.
Hunter Ace is farming engagement, and good for him. He earned it, and he can win just as well with anything.
Is Hunter Ace the first content creator that is making content out of playing the low skill cap decks? That is making it a point to play the decks that are, you know, frowned upon as too simple? And actually is successful doing so? He might be, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He makes all sorts of random stuff too. Like, I feel like his deck selection in Tices isn't that far off.
He just plays whatever. There's no...
Whatever he wants. He plays whatever he wants.
He just plays whatever.
He plays Provoke, Riot, like Enrage Warrior. Like, he just does whatever he wants.
Okay, so Paladin's done. Druid. Oh boy.
Might be the worst class in the game.
Might be. It's in competition, but it might be. We're getting into the rough area. And Druid is definitely in the rough area. Druid looks dead. Like, it looks dead and buried. I will say maybe if you run a Ram Druid list that's not completely terrible, then you're kind of teetering between tier 3 and tier 4. But yeah. Ram Druid loses to Evolve. It can't deal with a 10 drop early. I think it makes sense why. It can't beat aggressive Death Knights. The meta is just terrible for it. So I can't recommend it. And Aggro Druid is terrible because it just, again, loses to the same things. It can't deal with a 10 drop. It can't deal with the aggressive Death Knights that are better at taking board from it.
There's just absolutely no reason to play Aggro Druid for any reason. Like, there's no reason. There's no justification. Well, no, the only justification is it's cheap. It's inexpensive to build.
It's objectively terrible, though. It's horrid. Like, it's just, like, you just queue into Death Knights and they just, you almost, it's so hard to win board against them. Like, you need to go first and, like, have the nuttiest hand to be able to snowball. And people are trying Horseman Druid with Deathwing and Celestial Alignment. You basically play all the Death Knights together, and then you play Deathwing to kill them with the Celestial Alignment. And it's terrible. It win rate, again, like, in the 20s. It's almost like a Chad deck. And people are not really trying Mr. Chad and Ram Druid, so I don't know. It's probably bad.
Yeah, I would guess that it's probably bad.
Demon Hunter hat. Demon Hunter. So, Demon Hunter right now is in the midst of being completely baited by both Thaddeus and Rivendare War Rider. People are trying all sorts of Proving Grounds builds and, you know, kind of big DH with relics kind of stuff. And it's all looking very, very terrible. You know, with Flesh Behemoth to pull the other Death Knight, the other Horsemen, and it doesn't work. It's terrible. It's unplayable. I will say it is probably... No, Blood Death Knight is probably the best deck for Rivendare, even though Rivendare is baiting that deck. It kind of is functional. This might be the second best Rivendare, but obviously nobody's playing the win condition that you suggested, so maybe
dinner
that
performer.
Win condition
yeah.
with Dinner Performer and toppled the idol.
We haven't been able to see how it performs.
True.
So perhaps it performs well enough to be a meta deck, but I doubt it and don't hold your breath for it.
I also wish to add a disclaimer. I am not advertising this deck as a way to win games. I am saying it is the peak meme. Please do not play this deck and blame me. Just saying.
Yeah. But it runs like, you can run like Mask Reveler and yeah, there's some, it's funny, but it's terrible. The best Demon Hunter is the Spellic. No new cards. Same deal as before. But that deck has gotten significantly worse because of this patch. Because you can't deal with random 10 drops. It's not even random sometimes. On turn 3, you can't. Like, you need to have the absolute nuttiest Relic of Extinctions with Relic Vault in order to be able to answer that play. And even then, you eventually lose to Tiny Toys Convincing Disguise because you don't have, like, your EOE isn't that insane. So it's rough. And also, aggressive Death Knights are a problem. So, yeah, the same. I'm kind of repeating the same sentence for every deck in the format right now on why they're not good.
I mean, this happens when we get into the back half of classes. This happens a lot. There's a reason they're in the back half.
Yeah. Aggro DH is terrible because it loses a lot to the aggressive Death Knights and the Evolved Shamans. And yeah, Big DH is a meme. People tried Evoker. It doesn't work. And yeah. Hunter got nerfed this patch. Big nerf.
The dual tribe minions, like K9 and Click Clocker, getting beast tags.
K9 is a beast, so you can't play it in Beast Hunter. Now, funny thing is, some people started, like, kept doing that, and then they realized what happened, and then people stopped playing Beast Hunter because K9 is a really good card, and now it just doesn't work with Pet Collector. So that sucks. So Beast Hunter is kind of dead because of it. And then Spitter Hunter got so much worse because Spitter Hunter cannot do anything against the best decks in the format right now. It just gets pressured out of the game. And some people have looked at Trinket Tracker and said, oh, let's try Arcane Hunter again because we have somewhat of a tutor for a Ricochet shot and it doesn't work. And Arcane Hunter looks really bad. So Hunter, I wouldn't say it's worse than Druid. I think Druid as a class is worse, but Hunter is definitely one of the worst classes out there alongside Demon Hunter. And finally, Warrior. Mm. The last bastion of Warrior viability and Enraged Warrior, I am sorry to say, is now dead. Enraged Warrior cannot do anything against the current Meta Tyrants of Evolve Shaman and the cracked Unholy and Frost Aggro Death Knights with Construct Quarter. You just cannot win board against them. And Enraged Warrior is very reliant on snowballing boards to win. And on top of that, Control Warrior is giga trash. Because even though you have, theoretically, the removal to deal with Evolve Shaman, you're still far worse in terms of having the removal consistency compared to things like Quest Priest and Blood Death Knight. And on top of that, your win condition is absolutely non-existent, which means that you lose these matchups on top of losing to every deck with a remote hint of inevitability. So Control Warrior is giga garbage, none of the cards helped it, and Warrior is dumpster tier, possibly the very worst class in the format alongside Druid. Yeah, it's rough. And Enraged got no support, and I'm not even sure it's going to be viable even after the nerfs because the other decks got better, too. It's not just Evolve and Holy and Frost Aggro Deathlight.
It's even against a 3-2 Construct Quarter, you don't beat that, I don't think. Like, that matchup does not come down to the third activation.
My issue with Control Warrior is that it doesn't have a win condition. Even Blood Death Knight has a win condition. Quest Priest obviously has a win condition. Control decks in a format need to have, in most format, need to have proactive win conditions. If you don't have a good win condition, you cannot win. And as we've seen in previous other archetypes that we just discussed,
the Chad win condition. Some Warriors are trying the Chad win condition of Bone Lord and Chad and Alex Straza, Brian Zola. But it's not good. This win condition takes too many pieces to run, and it's too inconsistent, and it's too clunky, and it makes too many sacrifices. And every deck that runs this win condition just seems to have a win rate in the 30s. So, yeah. It needs, like, Controller needs a way to close out the game, and Rivendare is not it. Like, it doesn't have ways to accelerate Rivendare in any way. Like, it just needs to, it just plays the six drop, hard casts them. Like, unless you from the depths them, then you can discount them, but it just sounds terrible. Yeah, it's rough for Warrior, but that is it for the format. So, you start to understand the picture right now. Evolve Shaman is broken. Unholy and Frost, especially Frost aggro, seem kind of busted as well. The only way to counter these decks is to run really, really big removal piles like Blood Death Knight and like Quest Priest. You can counter them that way. You can also beat them. You can also kind of do well with Wildfire Mage. And Wildfire Mage leans into the other part of the Rock, Paper, Scissor game, which is decks with huge inevitability that counter the attrition decks. So you've got the Evolve Shaman, the Aggressive Death Knight. You've got the removal decks, the attrition decks. And then you got the high inevitability OTK decks or mass value, like Thief Rogue, kind of do serve the similar role that target the attrition decks. So there's a rock, paper, scissor picture that is beginning to form. Right now it's not fleshed out because the format is not aware of it. But this is where the things are headed, especially after I'm talking about it, and people are going to propagate what I've just said, and there's going to be a report. The good news is that this format is unlikely to survive for very long, and we're probably going to talk about it in the report, and then after that, shortly after, there will be a balance patch that I expect will nerf Evolve and as well as the aggressive Death Knights. I think Death Knight in general will get a nerf with Construct Quarter. That card is just too good. Other nerfs, there's nothing else that strikes me as something that needs to be addressed. I think we kind of would be in a pretty good format with just those two nerfs. So that's what I expect to see happen. And hopefully things will be good then. And by the time things settle down after the nerfs, we'll likely get an expansion announcement and stuff like that, and rotation. You know how I can't believe that Barons is about to rotate. That's nuts to me.
It oddly feels like it came out somewhat recently, but it kind of didn't. It came out in two years ago. April 2020. There are a lot of pretty significant cards rotating, but you know, the past couple of years, since the change in set design, along with Ben Lee's tenure, we've had a lot of adjustment whenever there's a rotation, because there have been rotations in the past that haven't felt impactful. That hasn't been the case for the past couple of years. We're going to lose a lot of good stuff, even from Barons.
I think rotations have become extremely impactful once they introduced the core set. And Barons came out April 21, I believe. Yep. You said 2020.
Yeah, said 2020. Yeah, whatever. It's all the same.
What happened in 2020? What was the April expansion before Barons? I don't even remember.
I'm pretty sure it was Ashes of Outland.
Really?
Remember how Demon Hunter launched during COVID?
Honestly, I don't remember anything. COVID is just a complete blur to me. But you are correct. It was Ashes of Outland. So,
yeah, Demon Hunter launched when we were in lockdown and we were trapped inside, and then we played Day One Demon Hunter, and it was something. It was something. But yeah, I mean, we're going to lose, like, Samuro is going to rotate out.
Samuro, this is the one card that... Samuro, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, all the Mercenaries. Like, that's the year of the Mercenaries.
The hero cards, but if we're talking just from Barons, Wildfire is going to rotate out Mordrish, wow. Reckless Apprentice.
Wildfire was such a good run. Had such a good run. Initially, it was printed at 2 mana, if you remember. And Mordrish was a 10-mana card. And they buffed it. And, but all the hero cards are going away. The quest lines are going away. Not that it matters at this point. But, yeah, finally, Quest Priest, the Meta Tyrant, is going out. It's going to be a completely different format. There's honestly no point in talking about it because we don't know what the expansion is even going to be. And there are going to be core set changes that we'll see what happens with that. That's also usually impactful. Not the most impactful thing, but it is.
We're going to lose Far Watch Post. You can't put that in a deck and call it a Metabreaker anymore.
Yeah, Far Watch Post is gone. I'm going to be sad about that because I really like that card. But yeah, there's going to be new stuff. So for now, the format's going to be rough. I'm not going to lie. The next week or two is going to be rough. Evolve is going to be everywhere. But the good news is that especially if you want to climb ladder and really abuse the Evolve, Shaman, aggressive Death Knight players, you can do it. You can run hard attrition control decks right now and farm them. Those are good choices in the format. And the other good news is that Phylactery Warlock, which is the one matchup that you really can't deal with, that's a top legend deck. Like, so you're not going to see much of those. You're going to see some Thief Rogues, and they are annoying. But Thief Rogue for Blood Death Knight and Quest Priest is... It's not as oppressive. You can deal with some Thief Rogues if you see more Evolve Shamans and aggressive Death Knights. It's kind of worth it. So there's some ways to, like, there's some answers. It's not like Miracle Rogue with the matchup spread of, like, worst matchup is the mirror, where it's like, there's nothing I can do. There's stuff you can do. If you want to beat Evolve Shaman, if you want to dedicate your Hearthstone life right now to beat Evolve Shaman, you can do it. Which I think helps. Makes this a little bit more bearable. So for now, you can do that. Until then, Evolve Shaman is still going to be OP. I'm just a little bit sad that all the Chad decks are terrible. I just want to play Chad.
I feel like that's something that's going to be a post-rotation situation along with Rivendare, like you said. These neutral legendaries are much more likely to see play in the lower power format.
I will say that I see potential in Chad Warlock post-rotation for sure.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for new decks, things to watch out for after nerfs, Undead Priest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to talk about that deck as much as you let me.
And that's going to make Hat very happy because he really wants that deck to be meta because he really likes Shadow Priest.
I'm already playing and killing people with it. Oh, man. Dude, I had this game. The first game I picked up with it, my opponent played 3 scales of Onyxia into a Denathrus for 17, then they died the next turn.
Wow.
It was wonderful.
I have to check out that replay.
I'll send you that one. I'll send another one where my opponent went Swift Scale Trickster into Drakefire Amulet on 4, Miracle Growth on 5, and they died on their turn because they triggered my Motion Denied. Send you both of those.
Wait, what? Motion Denied? How did you get Motion? Oh, what?
Reborn on my Mind Eater.
You got Sketchy Stranger and you got Motion Denied?
And a Shadow Step. Yeah, so I was able to play 2, and my Shadow Step triggered my Needle.
That's very cute. That is very cute. That is adorable.
Thank you.
Hat.
Thank you. Anyways, we're going to go.
Yeah, so have fun.
Thank you all.
Yeah, have fun, guys. Have fun countering Evolve Shaman. Good luck to all the Blood Death Knights, and I'm with you. I am playing Blood Death Knight Hat. I am a control player.
Yeah.
That's what I
but
do.
But you said you're going to put Mograin back in. Doesn't that make that a mid-range deck?
Mograin? Oh, of course, yeah. Actually, it's a combo. You play a 7-mana 7-7, and it deals infinite damage. Eventually, it's combo. 100%.
So anyways, before the show devolves any further, we're just going to dip. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. VS Gold, VS Silver, Patreon members, you're wonderful. You're great. You know that. You can all look forward to the next report on Thursday, the 23rd, podcast the weekend after. Evil Dave, thank you so much for the transcription. Steven Sensei, thank you so much for the intro and outro. We'll talk to you all soon.
The Data Reaper podcast is an official production of Vicious Syndicate. Don't forget to sign up and contribute your game data to improve the quality of the weekly Data Reaper report. Instructions are available on our website, along with lots of other weekly content at vicioussyndicate.com. Thank you to all of our patrons and data contributors for proving there's strength in numbers.